Before we share in Holy Communion together, coming to the table of our Lord, let's prepare ourselves with this scripture from Jeremiah, the beginning of his prophecy, where he almost gives a little bit of biographical information about himself, the beginning of his ministry, and invites us to enter into what he himself learned, to learn from him and do as him. Of course, I was looking at this text long before what happened this week. And the title, God is with us, that's all we need, came to me long before what happened this week. But it seems to me it's something we need to overhear this week. God is with us, and that's all we need. Jeremiah, before this account of his call, just gives some information about himself, setting himself in the context of what was going on in the kingdom of Judah, all that was left of the united kingdom of Israel before they split. The southern kingdom was all that was left. The nation of Israel to the north had been conquered nearly a century before Jeremiah's life by the Assyrians. And so the kingdom of Judah lived in constant fear of what was going to happen to them and had compromised themselves also as a result. Manasseh, who had a long reign, the grandfather of King Josiah, who's mentioned as having been alive during the time of Jeremiah's call. Manasseh was a king who had utterly prostrated himself to the Assyrians, worshiping their gods and, in fact, performing child sacrifice as they did. Can you imagine that? Rolling your baby into the fire. They had an altar that had arms upon it, and the flames would be before that, and they would place their babies upon those arms and let the baby roll into the fire as a way of asking for, can you imagine the demonic possession, asking for that God to bless them. You know, Chad was telling me that he and Vicky went down to the March for Life. What was that, 2 weeks ago? I'm impressed with that. That you went down there. In fact, Jeremiah listened to what he said. We already heard the words of the psalm about the knowledge of us in our mother's wombs. Here Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. He was probably in his 20s when this call occurred. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Here ends the word of the Lord for us this morning. I don't know. Chad said he could not say anything about being there at this March for Life, but he said, Vicky will. So he threw you under the bus. Do you want to say anything about that, being there at the march? That's right. Society is not the norm. That's right. We've got to attend and conform our lives not to, as Paul says, this world, but to what God would have for us. Life is so precious. And, you know, I don't know about you, but not all births are convenient, are they? It was less than a year when we found out we were going to have our middle child, August. So we had, what? Did we have at one point, Robin, three, didn't we? In diapers? Yeah, that was a heck of a lot of fun. You know, convenience in life is not the measure of life, is it? No. Jeremiah's call was one to a life really of conflict and suffering all the time. It wasn't to one of ease, pleasure, not one bit, really, for Jeremiah. He didn't relish it, but he had sensed the call. This prophecy, I think, has three things to this opening words of the prophecy. Three things to consider for us. His creation was from his mother's womb. His call was by God. His creation, our creation, is from our mother's wombs. His call, now his call was unique, but we all have a call. And thirdly, lastly, he responded. His response was critical to seeing the call become reality. And our response is critical to see the call of God become reality. Those three in this passage, our call, our creation, our call, and our response. As I was preparing, I found this account that I think kind of reflects this for us. It's given by one pediatrician named David Sakara, who told a story, shared this account of a dying girl who was part of his church, who was in the Sunday school class that his wife taught. And at one point, something wasn't right with Sarah. And her mother, you know, took her to him. Finally, you know, with all the tests, he realized that there was something seriously amiss. But before even this had happened, before she realized that she was ill, she had asked, you know, having heard some of the great stories of the scriptures, the heroes, if you will, well, what can I do? What can I do? She asked Sakara's wife. And, you know, she took that like a little bit aback. She hadn't expected a child to ask her this profound question, what can I do? And so the Sunday school teacher, his wife, said, well, you can bring a flower to put in the vase every week. And so she did. She did. Every week she started bringing a little daisy or some other flower to put into. It wasn't in the altar flowers either. It was flowers downstairs in the Sunday school room. And the pastor noticed it and brought the vase up and put it on the altar. And as she was diagnosed with this serious illness, you know, she couldn't come to church to put further flowers in the vase. But on a day where the pastor had visited her and realized that she didn't have much longer to live, she had contracted leukemia. He had told the church, the pastor did, that this was her condition. And the church reached out to her with all manner of love. And at any rate, at some point, Sarah came to church with her mother, very, very almost unable to walk up the aisle to take her seat. But she came up and brought, what do you think? A little flower to put in that vase. And this was the letter that the pastor had found. He gave it to Sakara, her doctor, saying, you better keep this. It may help you in your line of work. Dear God, she had written, this flower in this space has been the biggest honor of my life. All it was a daisy to us. But it was the biggest honor of her life. We all were from our mother's womb given a call. And what our response will be is the biggest honor of our lives. C.S. Lewis wrote in his Weight of Glory, "The dullest, most uninteresting person we may talk to may one day be a person who, as you saw it now, would be maybe tempted even to worship, or on the other hand, to shrink in horror from, as in a nightmare. All day we are, in some degree, helping each other." Think about this. In some way, we are helping each other to either of these destinations, to glory or perdition. In light of these overwhelming possibilities, he said, "It is with awe and the circumspection that's proper to this that we should conduct all our dealings with each other, all our friendships, all our loves, all play, all politics, all the fellowship time we share with each other in the narthex, maybe, or the passing of the peace with each other, every moment we share with each other, for there are no ordinary people. You've never talked," Lewis said, "to a mere mortal." Sarah's little flower was the greatest honor of her life. What we do, as Jeremiah did, it shall be the greatest honor of our lives.